You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Spooky season is here. This month, we're talking about horse health tips you don't want to skip on during the fall, and preparing for the most festive time of the year, including what we hope will go on sale by Black Friday. Thanks for tuning in.
From Heels Down Mag, a podcast where horse pros chat about what's happening in the horse world over drinks.
Welcome to Happy Hour.
I'm Justine Griffin.
I'm Jessica Payne.
And I'm Ellie Woznicka. Welcome to episode 141 of Heels Down Happy Hour.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
It's fall, guys.
It is. It's my favorite time of year. I love it.
My favorite time of year, too, but I don't actually get to really enjoy it. You both live in a place where it's beautiful right now.
Yes. Well, yeah. I just love, like, the Halloween's coming up. I just love it.
I will say, every year, without fail, I totally forget that botflies exist. And then once my horses go back on 24/7 turnout and they come in and I'm like, oh no, I have to remove all these things. So that's not fun.
Yeah.
But it's fine. I'll deal with them for the foliage.
Right.
When do you guys start seeing colors? It's like later in the month, right?
We're starting to see them.
Yeah. Mine are already almost gone. We've had a couple frosts already.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, but I'm on a mountain, so.
Yeah. We were in Tryon, and it just started to turn more last week. Like 2 weeks ago, it wasn't really turning. And then last week it started, and it's starting to want to turn here a little bit. But in the next couple of weeks, it will, I'm sure.
Nice. I know. So we'll be up in Tryon for Thanksgiving, but it's always like we miss it. You know what I mean? Like we're past it by then.
Yeah, it's too late then.
Yeah. Well, this episode is brought to you by Zoitis.
Without fail, guys, I have the perfect spooky season drink.
Yay! I want a spooky one.
Are you guys pumpkin spice people? Because it's one of my favorite parts of the year.
I'm not. Yeah. I can't get behind the pumpkin spice, but I'm here for like a good one for sure.
It's the most basic part of me because I love it. Like as soon as apple cider is gone, pumpkin spice is in. Like
100%
flavors. All right, so this is actually a pumpkin spice white Russian. So you'll need 1 tablespoon of pumpkin pie spice, 3 tablespoon crushed graham crackers, and that'll be for your actual rim. So it's fancy. And then for the actual drink, you're going to want 2 ounces of vodka, 1 ounce Kahlua, 1.5 ounce pumpkin spice creamer, and then a cinnamon stick for garnish if you're feeling extra fancy. So first you'll make the rim. So, you know, just like margarita, right? Shallow plate, combine your pumpkin spice and your crushed graham cracker, dip the edge of, you know, each glass in water, and then dip it into the mixture and coating the sides of the glasses. Then you're going to make your drink. So I like it. It's simple. You pour in your vodka and your Kahlua. Then you're going to, into your glasses that are filled with ice. Then you're going to top with the creamer, garnish with your cinnamon stick, and a sprinkle of pumpkin spice.
So, okay, this sounds so really homey. Good, actually. Yeah. And I could just do light on the pumpkin spice creamer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I like the rim of the spice and the graham crackers. Like, that sounds like it'd be really, really good.
I feel like this is the perfect, like, mix. Spooky movie marathon drink. Like,
oh, yeah. Yes.
Very right? cozy on the couch. Yeah. Kind of drink,
exactly.
You know?
Yes.
Though the last time I had a white Russian, I was in Reykjavik. I was in Iceland, actually, because there's a Big Lebowski themed bar there, of all things.
Oh.
And, you know, like his drink in the Big Lebowski is a white Russian.
Yep.
So that's the last time I had a white Russian.
Funny.
But this sounds way better. You know, I like the little spice, like the pumpkin spice way to mix it up.
So what have you guys got for news this week? Jess, you want to go first?
Yes. So the U.S. Equestrian Open was happening at Morven Park. It's their first kind of season doing this, your year doing this. And I guess it's on for the next couple of years, but they had a whole series of like all the 4 shorts that kind of led up to it. And then, so Boyd started off with like a really pretty good check for eventing before it even started because he was the series points leader going in, which I didn't even know they were doing that. It was pretty impressive. And so he got to start off that. And then everybody went out. It was a pretty like decent sized field for like, you know, not numbers wise, but competitive wise, there were a lot of really good horses. And so it was great. It was on Clip My Horse, which, you know, guys, I'm like very partial to, I love it. So we were super busy. So we actually came home and like binge watched all of Mormon Park on Clip My Horse. We saw the four short and the four long go on the cross country. And it was super interesting. They did a great job. I think the only thing you couldn't really tell on the live stream was how big that leaf pit was. Like it doesn't look like it. And the shadows were pretty like gnarly. So I think that was kind of hard for a lot of the horses. Like was one of the kind of, they came around the turn and a lot of them came in, but it was interesting because Coleman went into the lead on Off the Record after the dressage. He was leading after the cross country. And funny enough, at the beginning, so when you get the flags nowadays, they're just automatically putting it on your score and then they go and review it. And you could see by the live stream that Mixmaster C, it just hit the flag like it wasn't going to count. But at one point when you're looking at the scores, Mixmaster C had two flags on his record and so are like, you know, on his points for cross country. And so then the ground jury reviewed it and it was, you know, if you watch the live stream, it didn't look like it should have been a penalty. So they took those away. So Coleman was still leading after the after the cross country. And then he had a rail and that had enough points that Boyd Martin went in to win on Mixmaster C. So it was kind of a nail biting finish and it was, it was super interesting. And it's interesting with the whole US Open, like it was a lot of publicity and everything else. It was on ESPN, I think. And so, yeah, I'm like excited for the sport that it was kind of mainstreamed for a minute.
Yeah. So, you know, they're doing this U.S. Equestrian Open in all the Olympic disciplines. Yes. So we'll see it in dressage and show jumping as well. But yeah, it looked like Morven Park was a perfect venue for it. It was exciting to watch. And I also thought that Boyd's comments after he won.
Very touching.
Yeah. Just a class act. The way, you know, he really gave credit to Will and his incredible ride. And it was really Will's to lose. Right. And we've all been there where that one rail knocks you down. So that was hard to watch, but it was exciting. It was a great weekend for the sport.
And I think at the end, like they're all happy. I mean, it was funny enough. Boyd and Coleman Boyd won. And then Will was second and third. And then Boyd was fourth. So they took a home sweep and they got a good check because there was a lot of money put up for that. So good on the boys. They were great.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun to watch. Yeah.
It was really, really good. Ellie, what do you have for us?
So I just have another, you know, horse fashion in, you know, common non-horse people fashion.
Oh, gosh. I know. It won't end, right?
It won't end. But it's so funny. Like, just, I mean, personally, I like it because that's just like, you know, like the core.
I like it too. Like,
especially this time of year. Like, you know, the quarter zip sweaters, like I'm all about it because, you know, that's what most of my wardrobe is. So the fact that I can actually look nice if I leave my hair down and I don't like smell like manure, that
right. You look like the girls in Vogue, right? Like
exactly.
Vogue magazines telling you this is in trendy right now.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm totally channeling it. And it makes me feel like, oh yeah, this Carhartt will totally be in style like that. This article in Travel and Leisure was talking about this like Levi's like cotton barn jacket. And it's literally just like every one of those like Aussie
barber looking jackets.
Yes, exactly. It's literally, you know, all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, okay, if I just like grab, you know, some cleaner and wipe, you know, the dust off of mine, I'm good to go. Like
so
I can
funny.
Just.
I know. Between
I
this.
I can't get with
like.
Like
the classic like equestrian girl fall look plus like the Western themes you're seeing from the fashion world. Like I feel like Beyonce had a lot to do with that.
Yes.
I feel like you can't get away from it right now. Like everybody wants to dress like they're going to the barn. It's so funny to me. Like I got this belt, like this classic Western belt from a Western store when we were in Wyoming last year. And I get compliments on it everywhere, like at work and stuff. And I'm like, no, this one's for real. This isn't part of the trend. you know.
I feel like funny. Especially with like Yellowstone and everything, like it's just kind of exploded. Like even like by me, we now have a boot barn. So literally everyone is wearing jeans that are too short with cowboy boots, and it drives me up the wall. But it's just like, it's comical to watch, and it's nice for me because like I can go and grab, you know, cinch shirts and whatnot closer as opposed to like having to ship them. But the one thing I cannot get behind, I really can't, are the horseshoe jeans that like are like those, like, you know, they're like splayed out in the thigh, like the really old school jodhpurs.
Do you know what I'm talking they're all, about? Yeah, they're all bunchy up there. That's hard for me too.
Yeah. I can't, I think that's 'cause we're, get behind it.
We're big booty girls, Ellie, so those don't fit us.
No, they just make me look even shorter and even wider than I am.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I always like, look at that and go, how? How do you wear those?
I'm like, I'm already a little bow-legged. I don't need to like be more bow-legged. You know? It's like, oh, no equestrian. Yeah, like you said, with a booty is going to wear that.
Yeah, doesn't work for us, but I get it. Yeah, so some of it's cool, right? It gives me, like, I feel like it gives me street cred, but, and then part of it I'm like, okay, like, what's the next trend, you know? But.
Right, yeah. What have you got?
Okay, so I have really fun news, and I'm really excited to see this. So, before this month of this year, can you guys guess when was the last time a female show jumper was among the world's top 10 in the FEI rankings in show jumping? If you had to guess,
was it Beezy?
Off the top of your head. Yes, it was Beezy, but that was back in 2021. She was last ranked ninth in May 2021, and she was the last female rider to appear among the world's top 10 in the FEI rankings for show jumping until this month, October. And Laura Kraut is among those top 10s. Woohoo! I was really excited to see this.
That's amazing, because she is, she's incredible, and she's been on fire this year. So that's
awesome. I was just going to say that. Like, since the Olympics, like, I mean, you can't stop her. And especially with that amazing mare she's got, the Biscetta mare, it's just like, it's so much fun to watch. So Laura went from 12th to 8th in October, which is really cool. And she joins that list of top 10 who are all dudes except for Laura. So we're rooting for you, Laura, because that's amazing. But she's had a really, really good run. And it's really important to note that I remember in the Olympic year last year, they kept talking about how she was among the oldest Olympians, right? But she is going to be 60 next month. And she's one of the top 10 best show jumpers in the world right now. I mean, that is just incredible.
It's awesome.
And, you know, she's won this year with a string of horses, but that mare Biscetta is really like the most amazing among her string. I love watching that horse so much. So she jumped double clear at Spruce Meadows this year with her. She was third in Saint Tropez in France. Earlier this year, she earned three more five-star Grand Prix finishes on the podium when she was second in the, I think it was the Rolex Open Grand Prix five-star in Florida. She was also had a really great run when in Aachen, and then she won in Dublin. So she's just like rocking and rolling.
She's crushing it.
And it's just been a great year for the Americans, to be honest. Like, Kent Farrington is the number one guy that no one can catch, it feels like, you know?
Yeah, I feel incredible. Like he's been sitting pretty there for a long time.
I know. It's incredible.
It's
so
amazing.
It's really fun to see how competitive it is in the sport right now, and to see Americans in the mix. It's just really fun. So, Laura, we're rooting for you. You are our news for the month.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you know optimal time for treatment of tapeworms is following the first frost of the year? Only Zoetis' Quest Plus Gel controls both encysted small strongyles and tapeworms in a single dose. Consult your vet for assistance in the diagnosis, treatment, and control of parasitism.
All right, guys. So, I mean, it's not even Halloween yet, but I'm not going to lie. I'm already like filling my cart with various things for the holidays. So I thought, like, do you guys have end of year plans that you already are planning now or thinking about, or even better, like your shopping tips? I feel like, Jess, you are the Amazon queen, so you've probably got some good tips. But like, Are there things you're looking out for now, hoping that they'll go on sale within the next month? Like, what's on your wish list, I guess? We'll start there.
So I guess on my wish list, I've got to compose it a little bit because I haven't really thought ahead, honestly. Like, I tried to get a little ahead for the last like Prime days to kind of see what was going on sale. Well,
yeah, that's a good idea.
So I started to look kind of like what's going on sale, kind of things that I can put on my wish list. The sports bras that I really like, they always go on sale. So like, I might just get a couple more of those, you know, things like that. But one of the big things I found last year was the Oro heated vest. I got that for Doug for his Christmas present and he had no idea. And it went on sale like quite a bit. So just kind of thinking about things like that, probably a couple different sweaters and things like that always go on sale. And then just the horse stuff doesn't really go on sale on Amazon, but I'm also going to see like kind of what do we need for the season? Do I need any more wraps or bandages or whatever else? And kind of see if I can get those on like a Black Friday on, you know, one of the equestrian websites.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Ellie? What's on your list that you're like, oh, this is, you're waiting for this sale to stock up on?
Well, I mean, first of all, candy, because Halloween candy, as soon as sure. that goes on sale.
Oh, that's that's the best, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I am in there November
1st, you're good to go.
Exactly. I'm just filling, you know, for the whole year. But no, horse-wise, honestly, I usually wait for those like blanket sales that are in the summer. But for is a good time to get like those like fly sheets and fly masks, things like that. Those usually come on sale for Black Friday. So I'm going to be, you know, watching those. Probably need to like get my fly spray. If any there was a time to get that on discounted, I will do anything. For that.
Because it's crazy right now. The price of it is insane. Yeah.
Well, Chewy and Smart Pack and a couple of those companies will do gift cards if you spend a certain amount. So I always look for those as well.
Yeah. I just signed up too for the, like, Chewy has like a Chewy Plus thing where like gives you 5% back, but it caps you for the whole year. Fun fact. So it stops giving you money back at a certain point. Figured that out.
Chewy is an Amazon company, right? I think they're owned by Amazon.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
I didn't know that.
But I think so, but I'm addicted. I get everything on Chewy.
Yeah, I love
it. Now it's like all the animals, and they have all my horse things now because they have Sinutra. You know, they have all my feed. Like, it's amazing. And it comes the next day. They're very good about shipping and handling like a heavy feed bag that comes, you know. I'm all in on Chewy.
Except for when the driver delivered to your neighbors and we've been looking for 3 days for this package of Chewy.
What? So they take a picture. Like, so I get the picture so I know where they leave it.
But I wasn't home yet. And so then Jen's like, where is the stuff that was ordered off Chewy? And I was like, I don't know. Like, it's got to be in the box. Like, you know, she's, you know, maybe missed it because like they missed a day or whatever. And I was like, oh, no, it says it got delivered on Sunday. So I don't pull up the tracking. I drive myself down to the box. It's not there. So then I look up the tracking and I go to the picture. And there's a picture of it by a gray garage. And I showed it to Luis, who like is always here. He goes, whoa, we got a garage I don't know about. I was like, it's at the neighbor's. And so, and some guy had said there was a, like a neighbor was very nice, called and said, there is a paint equestrian package, blah, blah, blah. I just assumed we order so much off Amazon. It was Amazon because Chewy's never gone to the wrong place. And nope, it was the Chewy order. I'm like, good thing they're like, well, the supplement that we needed and that we're not out of till like Thursday. I'm like, okay, thank goodness I ordered a little ahead. Chewy's super fast. So I had a couple days in between.
I know. See, that's the one hazard, right? Of ordering all the stuff online is the shipping that you can't always control.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I mean, and I'm cranky. They used to have Super Sport and they don't have it anymore.
I know.
So that made me cranky because that's like, so it's one of those things where sometimes my Tractor Supply has it, sometimes it doesn't. So I literally stocked up when I was in Connecticut because I just bought like 4 bags and I was like, okay. Hopefully this will last me till the next time I come to Connecticut, but I'd rather not have to pay Connecticut prices for tax.
Make sure the other thing cheaper. I like stock up on, which is sometimes harder to find, is the Replenimash.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It can be hard. So actually my Tractor Supply is one of those with Replenimash. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. And because I live in the city, my closest Tractor Supply is like an hour away from my physical address. But having leased the farm, you know, not this last year, but the year before, where I was buying all my own feed and supplies, I have a million Tractor Supply rewards points. So they will deliver from the store all the way to my house. And the poor manager calls me every time just to confirm my address, because they tell me every time on the phone, like, you are the farthest person we deliver for. But I get the free same day delivery perks. I have so many perks that I'm just buying nonsense from Tractor Supply. Like, I bought skeleton chickens and they had to dry.
That's amazing.
Just trying to run out my points.
That is hysterical.
She was like, do I need these? But yes.
My points were expiring, and that poor man drove them an hour to my house.
That's pretty incredible.
Little did he know he's got just like skeleton chicken in his
But plate. they never put the Replenimash on the website when they have it. So I call them and I'm like, hey, this is what I want, and they'll send it. But it's, I don't know why Tractor Supply is like that. Like,
it's
why
weird.
Sometimes
it's
they
hit
have
or miss.
Stuff. I know, I hate that. Like,
that's
I
can't rely on Tractor Supply, to be honest. It's kind of annoying.
Exactly. You can't. So, to be honest, like, hello, Purina, if you're listening, like, get on Chewy. It would make my
they
life
were
a whole
before.
Lot easier.
I got it shipped before, and now all of a sudden I can't
know.
Get their treats. I don't know what's going on with that, but
I'm lucky. We have a good feed store here that carries all the Purina, so I'm lucky about that.
Okay.
Yeah. But so, I mean, obviously I'm going to keep watching Chewy.
Yeah.
You know, for basically everything.
I know, but I'm like you, Jess. I'm like sports bras, socks, underwear, like that kind of stuff for Black Friday, or, you know,
all
like
my
things
extra
that go on
shirts,
sale.
Like those Lulu shirts and sweatshirts that, like, these go on sale like a ton. So I'll stock up, like, because they get ratty. I mean, even the Lulu ones get gross. So I like
yeah,
stock
you
up
wear
on
wear them
those.
Until they die. Yeah.
I usually buy that underwear during Prime Day because. I swear to God, I don't know what it is with men that will wear holes in underwear for, like,
oh yeah,
right?
Oh,
yeah. Why is that
or I'm
a
just
thing?
Like, how is that surviving the washer machine anymore? You know,
like
it looks
it's
so awful.
Nice, it's you're airy. I'm like,
no,
that's not how it's supposed to work.
He throws everything away. If it's got the slightest hole, though, he's like, it's gone. He throws it away.
Oh, and how do I? He needs to talk to the other two because,
I don't know. We're
going to
have to get it because
like
he has
Matt.
No problem like keeping he doesn't keep it. He just orders more. Like a shirt has like a weird little thing. He like throws it away. I'm like, why? That still was fine. He's like, no, it's gross. I'm throwing it away. I'm like, okay.
That's
I
funny.
Would keep it before he would.
Right. I feel like I would be judged if I wore them with the holes that he
I'm
wears.
I'm judged.
Them. Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I don't care. I like this t-shirt. It's really soft and it has a hole in the left arm. Yes, I know.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The only
I mean,
thing
I'm
I buy
a t-shirt
every
right now
year
from middle school.
Are you? Wow. And it's like, does it have holes in it?
Yes.
Oh,
for
everywhere.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Everywhere. You can't have a shirt from middle school. Even I don't even care when you went to middle school. If you're on this, like, no, yes, it definitely has a hole in it.
Yeah. I mean, they are like conveniently right by my nipples, so I have to wear like a sports bra underneath.
Or else you might like flash somebody.
Yeah, like it's not
depending on how you move.
Yeah, it's like make hysterical. Sure you wear a matching bra underneath kind of shirt.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I wore it when my vet was here one time, and I think he was genuinely like, oh, well, you know, maybe we can split the farm call. I think he thought. Like, I'm fine with you assuming that.
But that's amazing.
Just wear your rattiest clothes on the day.
I'm really cheap, guys.
That's funny. So the thing I buy every year on Black Friday, there's one thing I always buy, and it's my Epic Pass to go skiing, Jess, because those things are outrageously expensive.
Wait,
and they have
go
really
on sale on Black Friday?
They do. They do a good Black Friday sale. Like for me, who's going to go one week out of the year, you know what I mean? Like I always buy my pass on Black Friday.
Oh, that's a great idea though. Cause
every year that's
reserves.
When I buy it. Yep. That's why I buy it. Cause it's like more than Disney World now to go skiing. It's crazy.
I know.
So I always, believe me, I have to price compare and that I always buy it on Black Friday.
That's amazing. Cause normally those ski passes are great. in the summertime. And if, and, but
yeah,
you just
you get
don't
a good
know.
Deal then. Yeah.
You get a good deal then, but a lot of times I like, don't know when we're going to go or we're going to switch resorts and I don't want to buy, you know, that. And
right.
So,
you don't know where you're traveling yet. Same. Cause for us, it's a travel thing. Yeah. So sometimes we go to a place that's not an Epic Mountain.
It's
you
not
know?
Epic.
So,
it's Icon or it does its own thing. Right. But I need to think about Black Friday for that. That's a great idea.
Yeah. No, I always do it. That's
do you
the
know
one
where you're
I
going
buy.
This year?
We're doing Breck this year.
Nice. I think we're going to try to do Deer January. Valley because they just opened up that other side of the mountain. And so I think that's kind of the consensus. We're leaving Jackson Hole, which so sad about actually, but
it's definitely a different experience, but we do Park City the most. You'll love Deer Valley. It's lovely if you've never been.
Well, and it's, we've never been, and it's going to have the backside where it's going to be hard enough skiing for my brother and Doug that it's the first year they've opened up the other side. So
yeah, you'll love it. It's really nice. I'll send you restaurant recommendations too, but what you'll like about it is it's so much easier to get there. You know, like you can fly right into Salt Lake. It's less than an hour. It's like 40 minutes. The elevation is lower. It's just very convenient and easy to get there.
Yeah. We just thought we'd try something different. And then, you know what? We can always go back to Jackson if we, you know, totally missed out.
Yeah. The only thing, like, the snow can be hit or miss depending on when you go. Like, it's not going to be cowboy powder. That's the only thing.
Oh, okay.
So just be ready. But most of the time it's fine. But like Jackson Hole was like incredible. Like it blew our minds with the snow, you know? So that is the only difference. But you'll have a great time. It's lovely.
Do you guys
So what about like events? Like what are the things you guys like to do before the end of the year? Are there horse things or family things? Like not just like Christmas stuff, but like are the things you're planning for now for the end of the year?
No, we're going to do Thanksgiving. My sister just had a little baby, so we're going to go to Nashville and do the beginning of Thanksgiving there. And then we're going to go change it up this year and go straight to Jersey and do Thanksgiving up there and kind of knock it all out. Because with the way the like calendar is, by the time Christmas is here, season starts earlier this year. So we actually are going to Florida by like the 27th of December. So
what? Wow, that's crazy early.
Isn't that nuts? Because by the time,
so is that just the schedule change to make it that early?
Well, so it's technically the 29th, I guess, of December, but it's okay. So it's the 29th, but like we show the 31st, like over. So normally because of the New Year, so premiere, which is what we always go to in Wellington, is we go. It's over. Now you're showing like on New Year's and everything. And so like you show Wednesday the 31st and January the 1st, and that's like their week zero and that's their national week. And then their FEI is the next week. And those are the weeks we always do before it all kind of gets busy. That's kind of how we like to start it. And so kids are out of school too. So we go to Florida the 29th now that Christmas is that week before, you know, it's like only a couple days. So I'm like, we can't be doing all this. And like, we do want to, you know, travel. So we're going to do Thanksgiving and then kind of regroup at home and kind of figure out, you know, getting ready for Florida.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a little different. Yeah.
That's cool. You'll enjoy New Year's down there though. That's
We've
fun.
We've done it the last couple of years, but that was always on like the Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday like type thing. And like now it's like in the middle of the show week. But for us, I mean, we don't stay out late. We're like super lame people. And so, you know, we'll go to dinner at 5 o'clock, blame it on our kids as the blue haired special, and then be home before it's like probably even dark, to be honest.
That's
kind of sad.
What about you, Ellie? What's like, what are you looking forward to before the end of the year?
Well, not to be a downer, but I'm angry because a lot of the stuff that I used to do, I can't do because like, you know, right now it's trail riding like heaven, you know, no bugs.
Yeah.
But PA passed a law that matches now New York where there's hunting 7 days a week. Like
before,
we used to be able to trail ride on Sundays because you could not hunt on Sundays. And now it's hunting all the time. Not that my horses, like they're pretty desensitized living in the middle of nowhere to like gunshots and stuff, but I also don't want to walk around where I could potentially or my horses get shot. I don't
holy cow.
Yeah. So it's just sad because, like, a lot of the things that we used to do to, like, enjoy, like, the bugless trails and stuff, we can't do this year.
So they're, like, I mean, I'm sure there are parameters for where people can hunt, but you guys are essentially sharing the same area.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, I could go farther out to, like, you know, designated, like, hiking and, like, horse trails. But, like, it was before, like, I could just, like, get to all the, like, shared places with my neighbors. Like, everybody kind of says, oh, yeah, you can, you know, hunt there, do whatever, because it's far away from, like, our actual properties. But now it's like, okay, everyone's going to be hunting, so I guess I'm going to stay on my property, which just kind of sucks because, like, it's a great, like, time to, like, walk and, like, get to the tops of, like, hills and see, like, the valleys and stuff. So that kind of sucks. But in terms of, like, end of year things, I'm excited because I would, you know, obviously I'm a weather freak because horses. So I was watching it and it does say, like, we're, like, supposed to actually get, like, a real winter with, like, snow as opposed to mud, like, all last year. So I'm hoping that with that, like, with my horses can be out 24/7 and then Matt and I could actually, like, go do things that are fun. Because it is our 10-year anniversary in the winter.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Okay, Matt's got to get on this. Where's the ring? Where is it? I'm going to be like your mom. Like, Matt, what the hell?
Right?
I'm going to start sending him, like, menacing letters in the mail.
Menacing letters.
His coworkers actually do, like, always ask him and, like, give him crap about it. But I'm like,
that's hysterical.
Now's the time, Matt. You've got a nice, like, anniversary. Come on. Come on.
Right? I'm like, oh, isn't this, like, one of the significant ones? Like, aren't you supposed to get me a present of a certain type? I'm like,
that fits
I lay
on
the
a certain
hints.
Hand.
Yeah, I lay the hints. But no, I'm hoping we can go do some fun stuff. Like, we talked about, like, potentially, because obviously, like, we both love the beach and we haven't been able to go because it's so far away from us now that we are in PA. And I'm jealous because he gets to go to San Diego for a week for work. And he's going to be, like, right on the beach. And I'm like, you suck.
Go with him.
I can't. Yeah. I have no one to watch the ponies. So that kind of sucks. But my mom and I, we've been talking about, like, just doing, like, a house swap. So, like, she'll come here and watch my animals and I'll watch her animals in that way. Yeah. And then we'll be in Connecticut and we can stay there for, like, a week and, like, go to the beach and, like, go to, like,
just
museums
change it
and
up.
Stuff. Yeah. So we thought
That's
it'd
perfect.
Be fun. Yeah. Because if my horses are out 24/7, I'm like, yeah, my mom won't have to bring them all in and stuff. She can just feed them outside. And so, yeah. So I hope we can do something like that. That's my goal.
I hope so too. That sounds nice for you guys.
Yeah.
Also, Matt, I'm, like, raising my eyebrow right now. Like,
she's going at it.
Well, I told you guys about the time he told me I was going to ask you to marry me today. That was, like,
yes.
Yeah. That was, like, 5 years ago. So, like, what? Okay.
He's not still sure. Thinking about that day.
Yeah, I guess.
I have a good feeling. We'll see what happens.
Well, we shall see. We shall see.
If not, there might be, like, menacing anonymous letters in the mail.
Slash, like, death threats.
All right. You don't open them. Just leave them for him, okay?
Leave them for him. Oh, my goodness. I want to be present when he has to open these.
It would be funny, actually.
All right. What about Rosenthorn? Are you guys ready?
I'm ready. I can go
that
first.
Was not- yeah, well, that was not a good noise.
I can go first.
Do you want to go first, Jess?
Yeah. Well, 3 weeks ago, my mother was trying to prepare because my youngest sister was having a baby. She was 40 weeks pregnant. So she's rushing around the house. And it was a Saturday. And we were just, you know, at the farm teaching a bunch. And my mom's cleaning lady called. And then my sister called. And I finally got to my phone and I'm like, what's going on? And my sister, who is 40 weeks pregnant, is like, mom's fallen and I think broke her leg. And I was like, what?
No.
And I was like, how bad is it? And like, you know, at that moment when all the rumors start happening, you know, all this terrible things. And I was like, she goes, I don't have any of mom's friends' numbers. I was like, I do. Let me call you back. Like, don't panic. Like, I'll figure it out. So I call a couple of my mom's like close friends. They all live like next door to her. And sure enough, she had like tripped over a rug and fallen pretty badly and can't move her leg. And so I'm like, okay. So I'm like finally talking to everybody and I'm like, so like, I'll come down, like, but do I need to come right now? Or like, can I come tomorrow? Like type thing. And they're like,
right,
it's like pretty bad. Like, I think you need to like get going. And I was like, okay. So I like rush around and thank goodness, like we were finishing up our lessons and like, we rush to the airport. Doug gets in the plane. Poor man. We like the kids are there with like the girls, like, cause a couple of them watch the girl, like kids, and they didn't really want to come. So I was like, that's fine. So they stayed at the house and Doug gets in the plane with me. We fly to Aiken. He literally doesn't get out of the plane and he turns around and goes home and he's like, okay, I've gone 3 hours and I haven't moved yet. Like, he's like, this is the worst experience, but I'm like, it's fine. So I get there. She's broken her patella. And even worse, we can't get a doctor in Aiken. Like, she's at the, yes. So she's at the emergency room and a friend of mine was the ER doctor, thankfully. And she was amazing. And all of this, she refers to a couple doctors in Aiken. And I know of like at least two. We called the one that was like the main referral and the whole clinic was like, we'll get back to you at the time. We'll get back to you. All day Monday. She broke it on Saturday. Sunday, we like regroup. Monday, the office is open. We spent till like 2 o'clock on Monday trying to get an appointment before she called 5 times and they like kept jacking her around. I was like, I think we should just go back to North Carolina and get an appointment. I called Duke and got an appointment. They called. It was on a Monday. They said, can you make Tuesday at 9 a.m.? I was like, oh, can you do a little later than that? Like, I don't know if I can get there in time. Yeah. And they got me in for a 1 o'clock appointment on Tuesday with an amazing, amazing surgeon. She thankfully, because we didn't know if she needed surgery, all of this. So thankfully, like my rose, that's obviously my thorn. My rose is that she didn't have to have surgery. And so she's been living with us for the last 3 weeks. My kids have had the best time. We've all had a great time, but she is finally looking better.
Thing.
And we went to the doctor today and everything looks great. And she is in the clear of not needing surgery, but oh my goodness, what a mess.
That's really scary that access to healthcare was that difficult for her where she lives.
Well, they just like, oh, well, we'll get around to it. It's no big deal. And I'm like, but we don't know if she needs surgery. And like, I'm sure they would have maybe gotten her in at some point that in the next couple of days. But I was like, I don't really want to chance that luck. So no, I'm like, we're just going to go. And I mean, she lives in Aiken. Like, it's just, they just don't have 100% really good orthos there, to be honest, it seems.
Right, right. Jeez. Yeah. That's pretty scary.
Not ones that we found that like were accessed fast enough. So yep, we came to Duke and they took care of her and they were amazing. And so she is, I think she can start, he said she can start traveling again and doing all that. So she's in much better luck. But yeah, it's been a lot of a couple weeks.
Yikes.
Sounds like it, but I'm glad she's doing okay.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, scary.
Yep. So Justine, what do you have for us?
Okay. Oh my gosh. So last time we were all together, we taped this beautiful podcast episode and I was so pumped to be going to Aiken of all places with Mikey and had paid my entry, had booked a beautiful Airbnb, had booked a beautiful farm for Mikey to spend some time in on our trek up there before settling in at Stableview. And I don't know, I think I had like 2.5 weeks before the horse show at the time we taped the last episode, and then everything fell apart after, like, literally right after we taped the episode. So I'm not gonna lie, it's been a very expensive month for me in terms of paying for a horse show I didn't get to go to and all that travel. So spoiler alert, poor Mikey was just not like overtly lame, but like something was off, you know,
just enough.
And it had popped up a few times this year, you know, like, or I'd felt something weird and had my vets out. And like, it came down to this, like, I knew something was off and I have a really good farrier and a good relationship with my farrier. And I had him out and I was like, listen, this is what I'm feeling. And he was like, all right, I'm going to come back next week and we're going to plan it. Me and the vet will be here together. And I was like, okay. And it's also like moving mountains to get the farrier and the vet in the same place at the same time and nothing go wrong. And they actually show up on that date. It was, you know, like it was crazy. Yeah. They did that. And everybody agreed like, yeah, like technically if you were to jog him, no one's going to disqualify you, but something's not right. Mm. You know? So we flexed him and then we, you know, like we numbed some parts of his legs and, you know, it's been about a year since he had that coffin bone fracture. And needless to say, recent rads just showed it's like full of arthritis. And when my vet went to numb that area, like we put the needle in and like clear fluid just like popped out for like 60 seconds. And he was like, okay, that's all I need to know that like, he's just got some coffin joint pain, right? Like, mm-hmm. Is he lame? No. But is he comfortable? No. So he recommended injections, but like the timeline to give him the time off a few days for the injections and then leg him back up. Like we were really tight on that timeline. And I actually even had a second vet out who gave me pretty much the same advice. And both of them were like, if you really want to go to the horse show, he's sound and you can do it, but is he going to feel good? Like for him, probably not, you know?
Yeah.
And then I was thinking like, well, he's got to stand on the trailer for 8 hours to get there, you know, and then ask him to perform his best. That just felt like too much, you know, and my farrier is amazing. We ended up changing his shoeing cycle just to see like, well, why don't we just shoe him and see if that gives him some comfort? And then you decide in a week. And I was like, I'm really getting up on the deadline here. And I'd already paid for everything. So we did that. We put him in a bar shoe with like some pads and a little bit of like dental impression just to see if, and not, it was not enough, you know? So I decided to scratch and just instead spend more money on the injections. But, you know, I'm really glad I did because I didn't do steroid, but like it's been, I don't know, probably 2.5 weeks since we did the injections and he's like a different horse. So I could just tell it was time, you know, like he was ready for the support. He was ready for the maintenance. And I'm glad I made that call because he just feels so much better. Like it's better than he's felt in probably like 10 months, you know? So it just, he was ready for that. And now we know that's an area that's probably going to need maintenance, you know, going forward, just to keep an eye on it. So it is what it is. It's horses, right? You know? So that is my thorn because it has been an expensive month. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
But I'm lucky I have a good team behind me because I felt like everybody really tried to help give me all the information to make the decision, right? Which was nice to feel like I had a lot of support, even though I was hardcore stressing about it. But needless to say, Mikey will be sound to ride at another horse show at another day. So all things considered, it's not bad news. It just, we didn't get to go to Aiken during the beautiful fall weather and to enjoy it, but we will one day.
Nice.
Yeah. Sucks that you didn't get to go, but I'm glad he's doing better. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, he's doing great. He feels really good. So, you know, now our goals have just shifted. So I would say my rose is that now it's all steam ahead to like the next time we go into the show ring, it'll be at second level. And I'm excited to do that, to move up a level and be serious about it. So things are going well. I'm actually sitting the trot, guys, believe it or not.
That's amazing.
I don't do that unless there's a horn in front of me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's not fun to be like, feel like I'm being competent and also sitting, you know?
Oh my goodness.
I feel like a sack of potatoes, but my trainer's like, it looks better than it did before. I'm like, all right, I believe you.
Hey, a little win is still a win.
Yeah, exactly, right? So yeah, things are good. Things are good. But Ellie, what about you? What's your rose and thorn?
Well, so one of my thorns was obviously the hunting, but my other thorn is actually, so I know I've told you guys that my dog Brave has Cushing's now and she's got other autoimmune things too. So she actually just got, well, not just, about a month ago, she got diagnosed with like MRSA. So
Wow.
So she was in, you know, just like if a human were to get it, she was in the, you know, vet all day long. and she must have just picked it up, unfortunately. But so, I mean, she's been acting fine. She just was like kind of sniffly and stuff. And I'm like acutely aware to those things. So we did like a nasal culture and it came back with, you know, resistant to like all antibiotics that are oral except for like one. So we did that for a month and then we did a reculture. And unfortunately, it's still showing MRSA that is now resistant to the antibiotic that she had been on for a month.
Crap. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, she's still acting like herself, but it's just like nerve wracking. So like now they're suggesting to get like a head CT.
What? Jeez.
Yeah. Because they're not sure, like basically what, you know, IDEX told my vet and IDEX were having a conversation about it. And they were like, there has to be something that's causing this. Like, they don't know if she's got like an abscess in like a tooth or an abscess in her ear. Like there's something that's causing this infection. So we sent a urine sample, like maybe it's a UTI. So we're just basically doing all of the diagnostics, but not fun. And then on top of that, when I called,
doesn't sound cheap either.
No,
no. But luckily, dog insurance is way better than horse insurance and actually covers things.
That's good.
That could be a whole episode on its own. screw you guys, insurance. But dog insurance, great. ASPCA, thank you. But I called to schedule her head CT because everyone's booking like 3 months out. And I'm like, okay, well, like, you know, my dog's immune compromised and like this needs to be sooner rather than later, blah, blah, blah. So I call the place to schedule it. And I've been there multiple times. I'm not going to like rat them out, but I called and scheduled it. And they were like, oh, what pet is this for? Because I've brought a lot of pets to this facility. And I was like, oh, yeah, sorry, I have a lot of pets, like it's for Brave. And they're like, oh, you must have a lot of money if you have all these pets. I was like, one, I'm
who
like,
who said that? Like,
the receptionist.
On the phone? What the heck?
Mind you, I worked in vet med as a receptionist, and I would have been fired for saying that. But also,
yeah, what the heck? That's crazy.
I mean, she was laughing. Like, I don't think she was trying to be like sassy about it, but like, I was stressed anyway because I'm worried about Brave. And I literally,
like, it's not funny.
Stunned for a second, and I said, "No, actually, I'm broke as hell because I have all these pets." Like, I'm just like, I wanted to say, no, I'm actually wearing a t-shirt with holes in the nipples so my dog can get this. Like I don't buy new stuff for me. Like, I'm like,
oh my
listen,
gosh.
You clearly don't get the picture.
My lucky vet shirt.
Right? Come on. So that was my thorn, just because that put me in a really sour mood.
Oh,
I was
my
like,
gosh.
That was just like not a kind thing to say. But yeah, so that was bad.
It's just a tone deaf thing to say. Like, come on.
Yeah, and she was like, oh, well, my husband won't let me get another dog because it's so expensive. And I literally said to her, I guess you should be at a better husband. That probably wasn't appropriate to say back, but I was already cranky at that point.
Oh, like,
my gosh.
Yeah, so that was my thorn, just having to deal with that. I didn't like that. But my rose was that I went to Connecticut for my annual MRIs and everything, and all those look good. Like, I'm stable lesion wise, but it was also fun because I got to go and do like a corn maze with my mom and like get, you know, fresh apple cider from the place by my house. So it was fun because like we used to do that every year when I was like growing up. Aww. So it was a fun nostalgic visit. So that was definitely my rose.
Yeah, enjoying the seasonal stuff, you know.
Exactly. So, yeah, so it was a fun, nostalgic visit doing stuff with my mom.
That sounds nice. It's nice to go home and do that kind of stuff sometimes, you know?
Absolutely.
All right, guys, so we have a mailbag. I got an email from Leandy. I hope I'm saying your name right. Just Leandy, she lives near you. She's in Hillsboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, so fun.
Huh? Yeah, just down the road. So she's got a question, and I think Ellie and Jess, it's perfect for both of you to answer. So Landy has a 9-year-old warmblood cross. He's green, but obviously she loves him. She's bringing him along. It took a long time for her to find this horse, but he's the one. And fast forward over the summer, he had an episode of choke, but a pretty severe one. He had to spend a week at the vet school to recover. So needless to say, when she brought him home, she took her time just to get him reacclimated and let him settle in. But since that all happened, she was slow to get him started. She even started with groundwork again before she got back on him. But he's really lost his confidence in being ridden alone. So when she rides with a friend, like another buddy horse, he's totally normal. But she thinks, like, when he was at the vet school recovering, you know, he was in the ICU aisle where he could hear but not see other horses. And maybe that contributed to this new buddy sourness that she's dealing with at home. So he could be a little tense, and she's trying to work through that. She also feels like she could feel him holding his breath, and he's just not overall relaxed as he was before. He's still obedient and he wants to do what's being asked, but it's just that tense feeling of a young horse that's not relaxed. So she's trying to stay the course and build on things, but she's looking for advice on, you know, how do you kind of build back that confidence in a horse that had a traumatic event?
I think obviously it's probably a bit of PTSD. I mean, horses, mm-hmm. I 100% think that they can have that, you know, from past experiences and everything else. And I think you're doing the right thing and taking your time and doing the groundwork and everything else. But I think I would, when you slowly start to take them, honestly, I would probably try either the G-Chill or the Sinutra products, like the Sin-Chill or Tri-Chill or AF or all of the different ones, and like kind of play with it, because it just kind of takes, like, we have ones that are super, you know, just kind of claustrophobic, or, you know, they just get nervous and worried. And that's what the Sin-Chill helps, is it doesn't take away, like, it's not like you're drugging them where they're just like doped up. It just takes away that like nervousness that you're talking about, just like gives them that calm where they're just like, I can then process it. So I would keep doing what you do. And then maybe, you know, I like the G-Chill because it's kind of a pelleted form and it's easier on their stomach. But then if you need a little bit more, the paste, obviously, I love the paste, that I think that that would just kind of give it, because I don't think it's a long-term thing you'll have to have, but it just kind of can get them over that anxiety and feel better. And I think once he has some good experiences, he'll go back to kind of feeling like his old self.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. What about you, Ellie? What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you dealt with this a little bit, Justine, too, after stall rest, but I know I did with Batman a bit, because, you know, he just was in a stall for practically a year, you know, so he was a little just, you know, different than he was. So I went with what Buck Brannaman has always taught, and that is to make, like, if it's like, for example, the outdoor is something that, you know, is a scary place, and that's where they are calling out and that's where they're nervous. You know, the calling out is, you know, when they're not like, they feel like they don't have a buddy. And what Buck Brannaman always talks about is making them like, you are their buddy. And the fun thing to do with that I did with Batman is to make the outdoor, the arena, the place of rest. So what I did, I had like a little like grass patch by my stalls, so he could hear the other horses, you know, they were, you know, in the barn, but he knew they were there. So I did some groundwork there, you know, trotting in little circles. Well, not with that, because Batman couldn't do trot in little circles, but with a horse that has no, you know, ailments, you know, you can lunge small, you know, circles, do like things that are, you know, just not like crazy, you know, but gonna get their heart rate up a little bit. And then every time you go for a walking break, or like just standing and resting, go to the arena and mm-hmm. leave where that buddy sourness. So basically you're going to add the work to where the buddies are, so that he finds that peace and that rest with you in the place that is away from the buddies. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And I did something very similar. I mean, Mikey was like straight up feral for 6 months after all the stall rest, like totally wild to ride, you know? And I mean, luckily mine was not a super buddy sour horse. Like, for sure he liked his friends, but he was very reliable on his own. But I did exactly what you described, Ellie. It was just like his reward was the rest, you know, like when he was wild, he had to, you know, we did safe work, but then I rewarded him with like the easy, you know, trail walking out, you know, for getting through the hard part of it. And a lot of it is just, it's baby steps at first. Like, I'm glad that you're taking your time, because it takes time. Like, and I find the mental part of the horse training is so much harder than the physical. Like, their bodies figure the stuff out. That, like, for them, their brains to figure the stuff out is so much harder. And especially when it's an emotional decision for them and they're worried about friends, or that just takes a lot of time, and they have to trust you. So yeah, just know that you're not going to see big changes right away, but look for the small, subtle things where your horse is looking to you for guidance, because those are huge and they will add up over time.
Yeah.
So,
and don't be afraid of, even my vet actually told me this, because Batman was really sore with, like, because his back changed so much after rehab that his saddle didn't fit properly. So, like, even when I got a new saddle for him, he would, like, turn around and, like, try to bite my boot, because he was like, oh no, like, he was used to this, like, pain happening.
Yeah.
And, like, don't be afraid to positive reinforce. Like, if you're going to work by the barn, you know, and then you walk into the arena and he's calm for a while, you know, as much as I hate to, like, hand feed treats, you know, don't be afraid to, like, reward that, you know?
Oh, I do it all the time. Oh, I walk. Yeah.
I'm a total, like, every time I get on now, my horse, he looks around at my boot, but he's not biting it. He knows he's going to get a treat, you know, because
totally.
That's how I got to break that mental thing, because he was so associating it with pain, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's just a lot of stuff you have to, you know, play by ear and just, like you said, be slow and reward the little wins.
Right. And just focus on your relationship, you know, because you're going to know him better than anybody else, even if you brought in a professional, right? Like, you know his little ticks. So you just be aware of those things. And there's nothing wrong with using a product that helps. I still to this day use Signature products because they help my horse find that sense of calm. And then it's easier for me to have a conversation with them, you know? Mm. So I think there's plenty of things you can do, but you're on the right track. So if you have a question for us and you want us to answer it on the air, you can always send us an email. Our email address is justine@heelsdownmedia.com, or you can always post it in our Facebook group, which is the Heels Down Happy Hour Podcast Lounge. And if you want to hear more from us, check us out at heelsdownmag.com for the latest news, and follow us online. We're at @heelsdownhappyhour on Instagram and at @heelsdownmag on Facebook. And if you love our show, please give us a rate and review wherever you listen to podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And we want to say thank you to our sponsors this month, Zoetis. All right, guys, that's a wrap.
Cheers.
Cheers.